Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Hello, everyone. Joe Pantozzi. I'm here with Curtis May. This is Make Your Wealth Work, our podcast with Alpha Omega Wealth. And Curtis's podcast is The Practical Wealth Show. Hello, Curtis. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Curtis and I love to get off on tangents, and we're going to try to stay a little focused today.
So we'll do our best.
We'll do our best. Yeah, no promises on that. But we're going to talk about the six rules that many, many people have already talked about, and we're going to talk about them from our perspective. The six rules shared with us over the years by my mentor in the infinite banking concept, Nelson Nash. And I love talking about what Nelson taught us. And it's amazing to me, first of all, that I was already in the business for over 20 years when I met Nelson, and Nelson opened up a whole new world and a new way of thinking for me after I had already been in the business that long. And it's amazing to me that there have not been a whole lot of other people who have come down the road and come to the market with, I mean, new, fresh, unique ideas and new ways of thinking and ways to push against the powers that and the preconceived notions that most people operate on. And these were not highly technical or very lofty. They're just new ways of thinking based on what we've come to learn about what actually is out there. So we really spend a lot of time sharing with our clients how money works, how banking works, how the government works, how insurance companies work, how Wall Street works, and how some of those things, some of those premises that have been laid out for us over the years are not necessarily in our best interest. They're very often in the best interest of the financial institutions that have taught us these, what they call rules, right? What they call philosophies, what they call strategies. So we're going to talk a little bit about Nelson's six rules. And I've kind of extracted from these rules that part of human nature that operates in the financial realm is people's reaction to their own fear.
Yeah.
And Nelson, I think, gave us some really good insight into that. So what he did and what he said was he opened up, I think, almost every one of these six principles with, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, gee, if I start saving money and I put it in the bank, won't I lose interest?
Right.
No, you won't lose interest because you've never done this before. This is something that's brand new. And it's not about the rate of return on the couple of thousand dollars you're just starting to put in the bank right now. Let's reserve that. Start the discipline of saving money over the coming years and decades. And the interest and the earnings and the profit will take care of itself. So his first rule was don't be afraid to think long term.
Right. Think, and I think so. And we're in a microwave society. So that's the hardest one. What's it going to make me in 3 months, 6 months? And they don't think long range. And even when you look at I want to go back to what you said about the financial institutions. You know, one of the things that we will teach our clients is, here are the four rules that govern all typical financial advice. They want your money. They want it on a regular basis. They want to keep it as long as possible. And they meaning Wall Street, banks, insurance, all of them, right? All the financial, what I call product manufacturers. All the products are manufactured with those four rules, and they want to keep it long as possible. And they want to give it back as slow as possible, if ever. And so you have to examine, well, what do you want? I think, if you're hearing this, you want financial freedom. Jim Rohn calls it, you want to live like you want to live from the income from your personally invested resources. Their goal is assets under management. So y'all goals are not aligned if you just use those products out the box. The way they're packaged, they're designed to set up to serve the institution. And so you've got to think first okay? And then you got to think long range. And then I wanted to say something you said about the no new ideas. See, because there's all these new jacks come in and think, well, I can do this better. I've got this twist. I've got this spreadsheet. But one of the things, even in thinking long range, Nelson thought as a forester. So he thought long range just on GP. That was how his mind worked. And then he also studied Austrian economics for 50 plus yes. years, right? And so, or free market economics, Ludwig von Mises, he was part of Fee. And that birthed a lot of this stuff. See, people think it's about the products, but you've got to have principles or philosophy. And he had a philosophy of not top-down thinking, bottom-up thinking. And so all of that and his belief in the Bible birthed this whole thing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? And so he's not a spreadsheet warrior. It's all about your philosophy. And the first one is, you know, what does he say? It's better live as if you're going to live forever, but prepare like you're going to die tomorrow. I'm saying that wrong, but it was something like that.
No, that works. That works. Yeah, be prepared. Protect your world. Protect your family. Protect your income. Most people don't do a very good job of protecting their income, which is the biggest asset, right? Protect first. Make sure you don't lose what you have through lawsuit, through a stroke, through a natural catastrophe. Make sure you have homeowner's insurance.
Right. I call that building a moat around your castle, right? You want
building a moat, yeah.
You want to, I call it maximum protection. And sure. So, Joe, what I try, you know, I say, look, I'm the defensive coordinator. I'm here to make sure you don't lose. As we record this, Eagles are Super Bowl champs. Defense wins championships. Okay. And so managing cash flow, maximum protection, full replacement of assets at death, guaranteed, right? Yeah. Which is why we don't use universal life. And liquidity, right? Yeah. That's your foundation. Like you got to build your house on rock. And too many people are out there chasing returns and they're short term. Even when you watch, you know, the TV shows, they're like, oh, you know, market's up today. Like it's like a sporting event of this and it's all short term thinking. You know, I had a client tell me, oh, my IRA went up 29% last year. Okay. And I mean, can you eat that? I mean, it's not real until you sell the shares and turn it into money. So y'all are focused on rates of return and short-term thinking because it's 29%, wherever it was up, it could be down tomorrow. You know, I don't think you're looking at having proper money financials, fundamentals, and starting out with, you know, when we talk about the rules of IBC, don't be afraid to think long range. And most of us are afraid to think long range.
Right, right. So one thing that you mentioned a minute ago was institutions that have in their best interest to have assets under management. So they want to grab our accounts. They want to grab our IRAs, our 401ks. They want to grab our taxable accounts. They want to manage our money. And what we always say is you're going to have better wealth creation by your controlling your money. Because when you give up control, that's typically when you have losses. If my money is under control, you know what? I may not make 29% this year, and I'm really not concerned about that. I'm concerned about adding quite a significant amount this year to my capital that I've built up over the last 30 years. And none of that's got anything to do with rate of return.
Right.
I don't think billionaires really give a care about rate of return this year. Do they? Right? They're concerned about protection. They're concerned about taxes. They're concerned about making sure they're not being taxed on ordinary income rates. They're going to be taxed on capital gains rates.
I don't think people understand that because the first thing they ask them, well, does the cash value in insurance, does it earn a rate? Does it earn an interest rate? And because I got asked that, I said, well, it does, but why is that important to you?
Because, as long as it's above zero.
Right. And because it's storage, it's storage. It's like, what is the external rate of what you do with the money? But because what people think is they're thinking short term and they're chasing returns. So, and I'll ask people, say, have you heard of Rule 72? You know, 50-50, right? I said, so this is how you can gauge the velocity of accumulated money. So if you're earning 3%, you divide your interest rate in 72, it tells you how long it takes for your money to double. So 3 goes into 72 24 times. So what do you think is going to happen, you know, in 6 months, in a year, to this money? But that's what you're, because that's really what you're, oh, it's not doing anything. What do you think it's supposed to do? Here's how, you know, and it's doing what it's doing, you know. So if you can get, compounding is good, but compounding works best uninterrupted.
So let me ask you a question. If you knew that your house that you live in, that you raise your kids in, that you have your family time, where you put your head on the pillow at night and you're comfortable and secure, if you knew that that house wasn't going to appreciate at all for the next 10 years, would you start packing and move someplace else? Probably not.
Probably not.
Hey, you didn't buy the house for that.
Because a house is not an investment. It's a place to live.
Right. And so maybe making decisions with regard to finance shouldn't be all around what that financial product might earn in the coming year. Maybe a more important thing might be, is that asset going to be there, no matter what it is? Is that asset going to be there 50 years from now when I go to give it to my kids? And even more importantly than that, will I teach my kids how to manage that asset? Will I teach them the skills? Will I teach them the wisdom? Will I teach them the virtue of setting apart part of that asset to give without strings? Give, right? So, I mean, all this is wrapped around thinking long term.
Right.
Right. Thinking long term.
Multi-generational, you know, multi-distribution of assets. So when people talk about leaving a legacy, that's thinking long range, but you have to start today with that. You know, and that's a challenge because people are, it's a war going on, I say, in most people's households, and it's between current lifestyle and future lifestyle, right?
For sure. And
current lifestyle is winning that war for in most American families, you know, and they're so, what's the book called? It's called The Distinction Between Millionaires and the Middle Class by Keith Cameron Smith. And he says, people in scarcity or poor people, they think day to day, maybe week to week. Okay, I got to get through the week. You know, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Then middle-income people think month to month. But when you listen to Buffett, as old as he is, he's like, well, a decade from now, or such and such. You know, they're still thinking 1 year, 5 year, 10 years in the future. They think long range. And you know, so, you know, I always say, I know you say this also, success leaves clues. And what are we modeling? You know, are we modeling the thought process of rich people? Because they think long range.
And they don't have fear about next paycheck. They don't have fear about what they might lose because they're diversified. Maybe because they know that they're going to add to their capital base next year. All right, which leads us into rule number two, don't be afraid to capitalize. So it really doesn't make any difference how much you had in your capital account yesterday. What I'm interested in doing is encouraging people, inciting people, cheerleading people, pleading with people to not worry about what the market's doing, not worry about what your neighbor's doing, stop comparing with other people, and just capitalize, capitalize, capitalize. Even when you're investing, capitalize. Paying down debt, capitalize. Got a big unexpected bill, capitalize. It's something we do every day, every week, every month, every quarter that becomes automatic, right? So for me, I'm a Christian. I tithe. I give 10% of my gross, and I call it returning to God what he's demanded, what he says belongs to him, and I believe him. Mm-hmm. I return him 10%, right? But you know, he doesn't mind if I put 20% more into my own account. He doesn't mind, right? Somebody said that the poor will always be with us. We just don't have to be one of them, right? Don't be afraid to
capitalize. I always said the best thing I can do for the poor is not be one of them.
Absolutely. So I like that.
And because poverty is not a virtue. That's a whole other thing that Christians get caught up in their mind. And it's like, you know, so I'm not going to go there today. But yeah. So, and so don't be afraid to capitalize. So you said this to me on another call, or one-on-one calls, a mentor calls, and I get sometime I'm afraid to capitalize. I had to call, I'm just going to call myself out on that, because I'm in business. We're live, you know, our income fluctuates. That's why I said, don't be afraid, because you have to be confident that you're going to be able to do this thing.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed part one of this episode. It's just too good to limit to one show. Join us next week to hear the rest.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.